for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2008 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday afternoon, May the 25th, 2008. Cheryl Batts is the speaker of this service, teaching on No Fear.
We worship you, we give you glory. You are our everything. And I hear the Lord saying that today is the first day of your life. Today, this is the day that you must let the Lord God Jehovah take control, complete control of your life, to completely fulfill your destiny in Him. Today you can make a decision that will take you further than you have ever been. These are words that we hear every day. But have you taken the time to really hear what is being said? You can listen but not hear. You can even spell a word that you've never seen before correctly, but do you know the meaning of the word? Today we'll discuss fear. I know a lot about fear. Maybe some of you don't know about fear, but I know a lot about fear. So I speak to you experientially and not because it's written down on the piece of paper. I have no other choice than to speak from my experience, because to try to speak to you otherwise would not give you the benefit of the doubt of my experience. My testimony would be a null and void if I did not tell you that I had been overwhelmed to the point of stagnation with fear for almost 2 years. It is a horrible feeling. You say, oh, how could that happen? You had so much deliverance. It can happen. That's why the Bible tells us that even the elect can be deceived. So in my walk, I've become extremely humble, because I've seen myself cycle out of stuff that I had been delivered from and back in it. Just like that. What is fear? An unpleasant, often strong emotion caused by anticipation or awareness of danger. An instance of this emotion, a state marked by this emotion, anxious concern, solitude, profound reverence and awe, especially toward God, reason for alarm, danger. Question is, do you have profound reverence and awe toward God? That's the difference between the fear and the fear. This is a very small demon, and it can get a foothold in your day-to-day experiences, your life, and cause you to make unnecessary mistakes in leadership in your family, your business, and your church. Remember now that this is the first day of your life, so we have an opportunity here today to take a stark look at the spirit of fear and how much of our lives has been taken. In recent book teachings on fear, it has been churned out one after another. But the one that we want to pay close attention to is the Word of God. Herein He speaks to us 485 times about fear. Most times He is saying, fear not. Our Father is certainly aware of the downward spiral that fear can take in our lives. In leadership, and I quote, page 251 of Rejection, Its Roots and Its Fruits, the first reaction is to turn inward to the safety of fantasy where you are in control. There you can find love and acceptance in the privacy and the safety of your own mind. In the process, you become God, little g. Controlling events to your desired outcome. No one can take that which God has assigned for you to do. No one can take that which God has given to you. Only you can give it up by making bad decisions based on what you think. Examine with me Psalm 86. prayer for deliverance, I believe, by David. It says here, "Incline your ear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and distressed, needy and desiring. Preserve my life, for I am godly and dedicated. O my God, save your servant, for I trust in you, leaning and believing on you, committing all and confidently looking to you without fear or doubt." This is the Amplified Version. "Be merciful and gracious to me, O Lord, for to you do I cry all day. Make me your servant to rejoice, O Lord, for to you do I lift myself up. For you, O Lord, are good and ready to forgive our trespasses, sending them away, letting them go completely and forever. And you are abundant in mercy and loving kindness to all those who call upon you." So in reading this psalm, it really doesn't sound very much like a strong leader, the kind of strong leader that people tell us that we're supposed to be. King David, in reading this psalm, you hear King David praying, "O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy." He then refers to himself as a servant and pleads for mercy. This great leader chosen by God, pleading for God's help. Psalm 86 and 2, where he said, "Save your servant who trusts in you." Now, I've been reading, I've read according to businessman Max Dupree, whose leadership moved his company near the top of the Fortune 500 group. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality. You have to define reality. You have to define reality when you are moving for your deliverance. What's you and what's Memorex? What is the real personality that God gave you from the beginning of time? And what is all this other stuff that you have that you think may be your personality? You have to come to that place of reality. You have to come to the place of listening to what people say to you and not be offended and not throw it off. Sometimes it doesn't come from the people you want it to come from. Sometimes it doesn't come the way you want it to come, but it will come. And people will constantly tell you in some shape, form, or fashion that you're not quite all that you think that you are. But we don't want to hear that. See, we don't want to hear that. But in your quiet time, be honest with yourself, sit still and listen, because God can send a donkey to speak and tell you something. So if you're crying out, "Oh Lord, cleanse me. Oh Lord, I want to be more like you." And he sends somebody that you don't like or somebody that you do like, but all of a sudden they're saying things to you like, "You know what? I don't want to finish this conversation. It's really negative. You're really negative today." You can drop that two or three times and move on and go on to something else. But after a while, in a minute or two, you have an epiphany. And that word negativity hits your spirit and you begin to think, "Negative? Me? Mighty woman of God? What? Surely not me." But in that quiet time, when you accept the fact that you know you're not all that all the time, because he's constantly showing you through the fact that you are serving and ministering to your mother and you have to do everything for her. You're not the big business leader that you think you are. So here you are cleaning poop from a woman that has served you, that has loved you. And all of a sudden, that's your daily routine. When God needs to give you an epiphany, when he needs to get your attention, he loves you enough to let something happen so that he can have your attention and have your focus. Why? Because he loves us so much. He does want us to live in eternity with him forever. So he is constantly, daily, through his Holy Spirit, opening up doors and having people speak to us and say things to us to kind of rock our world. And it's up to us to realize that we have to be sensitive to the things of God, because he's not always going to come the same way, the same time, and the same place. He's always moving. He's always different. But yet in all, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Why? Because his modus operandi is the same. And that is to get us delivered, to get us healed, to brand Jesus Christ within our hearts so that we can love folks, we can be honest with folks, so we can see them and say, "You know what? You stink today and I still love you." That is the life of a person who loves the Lord. That is the life of a true Christian. That is the life of someone who has Jesus branded on their heart.
You don't let your friends just keep continue to walk around with toilet paper on their shoe. You don't continue to let them walk around with demons just flapping off of them, and they're preaching the word of God and quoting scripture to everybody they see. There comes a time when you have to stand forth and stand flat-footed and tell them. And in this new dispensation that God is giving to us, it's not going to be all about the preachers and the people that are sitting up front. It's not going to be all about pastor, teacher, and the fivefold ministry gift. The Bible says in Joel, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all flesh, on all my people. You will all be able to lay hands on people and get them delivered. You will all be able to prophesy. You will all be able to do the things that you see the fivefold ministry gift doing, because he needs us. He is hungry and anxious for his people to be with him, and he needs us to begin to operate like a smooth machine. He needs us not to be in fear. I have a testimony with one of my close friends. Can I tell it? Can I tell it? My friend and I, for this past year or so, where I've been taking care of my mother, has known that I've had a need for someone to come and to help. And I would cry out and I'd say, where are the saints of God? Why they not coming? Ain't nobody calling me on the phone. Ain't nobody asking me, I'm tired, can I cook a meal for you today? And I was getting all angry and frustrated. The devil was just using that. And daily, daily, daily. And finally I just said, mm-mm. And I just let it go. Because see, I don't know what's going on in your world. And I don't know what God is doing for you. So I had to try to pull back from my self-pity, pull back from my fear, see? And as I begin to kind of pull back away from that, I get a phone call one day from Carla. Now, we're talking 2 years down the road, and Carla says, the Lord told me to call you and to let you know that on the day that you want to minister, I will watch your mother. Just get in touch with Glenn and let Glenn know, and we'll work it out. I was at the end of that little bitty rope I call myself hanging on to instead of hanging on to God, because I had allowed myself, and I'm trying to pull back away from that, the self-pity and the fear and the spiraling down that can happen when you miss out on the corporate prayers and the corporate anointing. That day, on that day, when she made that call, and she was obedient to God, the floodgates opened. And people from out of nowhere began to give me their schedules and tell me, you can call me on this day. You can call me on that day. You can call me on this day. You can call me on that day. Why? Because we are knitted together. Her obedience opened the floodgate for others to do the same. And we laughed about it today because I didn't need her today. Because it also opened up another floodgate. All of a sudden now, family is beginning to, all the prayers that have been going up, they're starting to get shaken. See? I'll do it today. We have to understand that God is not going to move on our time. He's going to move on his time. And he's going to give just like he gives me enough time to repent. Just like he gives me enough time to get myself together so that I can stand before him in a repentant state. He's going to give everybody else enough time to do the same. So while you're waiting to make up your mind to say yes to something, I'm waiting on waiting on me to say yes to something. To both of us, it seems like a long time. But what if God had moved before either one of us got to the yes place? It wasn't so long now that we think about it. Because see, we had to wait on each other. That's how he set it up. That's how it's supposed to operate. And when we have that kind of epiphany, when we have that kind of understanding about the body of Christ and how he wants us to work together, it should be a source of strength, a source of catching a hold to the momentum and doing those things that he has called us to do, to feed the poor, to help the widows, to lay hands on the sick. Some of us don't do that anymore. But he wants that in the body of Christ because that's who Jesus is. He took care of the widows. He took care of the poor. He took care of the needy. He visited them when they were sick. It's all a part of it, folks. It's all a part of it. And when you walk in it and you have to experience it, when your opportunity opportunity comes, you don't have no doubt in your mind that that's something that you're going to do if you're called upon to do it. The first responsibility of a leader is to define reality, the reality of our own selfishness. The last is to say thank you. In between the two, the leader must become a servant and a debtor. That sums up the progress of an artful leader. This is how David viewed himself as he asked God for help during his time of leadership. So today, it doesn't matter if you are leading a family, a church, a classroom, or a business. Today is the first day of your life. Today, we will stop spiraling down, taken from page 47 of the same book, from fear, inferiority, insecurity, the grasshopper spirit, torment, feeling the world is unfair to us and withdrawing into self-pity, terror, depression, then moving into a critical spirit and then that perfectionist spirit. Today, understand, controlling other people's lives is not a godly leader's trait, but serving other people's needs is what the Lord considers great. The only leaders qualified to lead are those who have learned to serve. Let's go to Romans 8, 13 through 30. We will not read it all. In your quiet time, your study time, read 8 and 18 through 30. We're going to read 29 and 30. For those whom he foreknew, of whom he was aware and loved beforehand, he also destined from the beginning, foreordaining them to be molded into the image of his Son, and share inwardly his likeness, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. And those whom he thus foreordained, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified, acquitted, made righteous, putting them into right standing with himself. And those whom he justified, he also glorified, raising them to a heavenly dignity and condition of state of being. And 28, we are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to his design and his purpose. So in Romans, we turn and face ourselves and turn our faces toward God and look at the fear of rejection and pain. Let's take, for instance, if we break a bone and it has to be reset. We trust the earthly doctors to do that for us and to send our children there. How much more should we be willing to trust God, the great physician, to reset our broken lives, to be conformed, Romans 8 and 29, to the image of his Son? Why not view this as productive pain? All things work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose, Romans 8 and 28. And so if one of God's purposes in pain is to brand the image of Jesus Christ in our hearts, can we weep for those who weep? God may need to stain our cheeks with our own tears so that we can genuinely emphasize with others as Jesus did. Are we self-sufficient? Now, that's a fantasy. God may need to strip away our security to conform us to the God sufficiency that Christ displayed, that David displayed as a leader. Are we faithless? It may require a tragedy to teach us to trust the Father as Jesus did. You see, I had to learn in my experiential testimony to trust God as the great physician. As I began to watch my mother decline and I began to see her in and out and sleeping all the time, I was like, what is this? So even though I was this far away from being the perfect that I thought that I was and the holy woman of God that fights at all times, I was so wore out, I passed out at night and forget to say my prayers half of the time. Yes, I did. Yes, I did. Yes, I did that. So I'm laying there and I'm like, oh God, our Father which I'm in heaven, that's the best that I could do. And I'm listening to him. I'm looking at these pills and I'm like, okay, one here. Not three. No, we're going to do one today. We'll do another one next. We'll do another one another day. And I'm doing this. And I was doing it without, I wasn't really thinking about it. It was just, the anointing was just there. At the time, I didn't know it was the anointing. I was afraid of it. Why? Because that's a different feel for me. I never told anybody I was a healer. I never told anybody I hear God in the area of healing. That's that. I couldn't call back. I had to what? Become humble within myself and say, okay, all right, okay. God, I'm trusting you. I said, because you know, if this is wrong, they're going to arrest me and say I killed my mother. You know, I mean, your mind is going. I'm telling you the truth. So I'm fixing them pills like, you know, I'm fixing them and taking them. I'm not giving her this many. I put them over there. I'm not giving her this many. This one right here makes her slip. She's not, doesn't need that. I did that for about 2 weeks. They said, well, we have to come in and do blood tests. Okay. Meanwhile, my mother is sitting up in bed looking at me saying, when did they put this here? What is this? That's been there for 2 years. So she's been out of it for how long? Trusting and obeying God in an area that you had never had to trust and obey Him in before. It was all right for me. It was all right for me. When they said that I was schizophrenic and had me on 350 milligrams of that stuff, it was all right. I got off. But see, that was me. It's Mama. And I'm concerned about where her faith level is. You know, what we're going to do, can she, you know? And she laying there looking all pitiful, talking about, it's okay. It's okay. She woke up one day, she said, I feel so much better. My head feels clear. That's all I needed to know. That's all I needed to know. I heard from God. Blood test came back. Dr. Sowell, she looked pretty good. Praise the Lord. I told him too. I said, well, if it's all off, it's okay. I say, because I took all off of y'all. She was too high. Y'all had too much stuff. You know. But I'm telling you the truth. This is my testimony today. And I encourage you that it's not all care. People can stand up here before you and they could have walked through everything in their life. They can open their mouth and devils can run out the back door. But when they've been through something, they paid a price to stand before you like that. This is not easy. We have the guidebook right here, but it still doesn't mean that we have the faith that we need to go up a notch and catch the momentum of the next level that God is trying to take us into. New level, new devil, but there's also a shift for you in your faith. Hallelujah. Are we faithless? It may require tragedy to teach us to trust the Father as Jesus did. We become useful to God when the multiplicities and the vicissitudes of life make us feel broken. Don't panic. Praise Him. At first the pain, but then the gain. No pain, no gain. Today, we will buckle up. We'll strap ourselves in and stay on the potter's wheel because I'm constantly preaching about trust and obey. And I remind you that when you take your place here and you take your place in the grocery store, whatever you teach is coming back. It's coming back to you. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Trust Him. Take Him at His word, for He is everything. Today, let this be our final answer, that we will trust God, that we will have the reverential fear of God, that we will obey Him. We have to stop reacting in fear and start responding in faith. I can hear him so clearly as I was putting them pills to the side and I looked at her and she still was looking too thin. He said, don't go by what you see. Is that not what he tells us? He tells us that not by power, not by might, but by my spirit. So as Christians, as saints of God, as people that warfare, we cannot look at things the way we see with our natural eyes. I had to begin to see my mother in the spirit. I had to loose her from being my mother, and I had to loose her into being a woman of God that I had been set in charge of to take care of and to serve. And in order to do that, I had to step out of being the daughter and move into being the prophet, and I had to begin to see her, and I say, you know, you look good. Look like you put on some weight since last night. She look at me and I look at her and we both laugh. But that's okay. Because I'm told not to look at what I see. So I'm looking at what God is telling me that He's going to do. Hallelujah. Have enough respect and love for God to obey Him. Trust in Him. the answer to our challenge as far as our fear is concerned. Let's go to Psalms 91. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hear somebody knows what I'm getting ready to say. Amen. Amen. Now this is the security for the godly in Psalm 91. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall remain stable and fixed under the shadow of the Almighty, whose power no foe can withstand. All right? So when you stop having faith and move into fear, you move out from under the shadow of his wing and you start getting picked off by the spiraling down spirits that operate under the spirit of fear. And they start cracking on you and hitting you. You know, I watch wrestling, oops, every now and then. And I notice that the good wrestlers that really know how to wrestle, they put him in, say, and this guy's, he looked like he's 7 foot on the TV screen. And this guy over here looked like Duck. Short, skinny. But like Duck in the spirit, see? Size him up. You go for the legs. You don't jump off the top rope into their arms so they can body slam you. You just keep hitting their legs. Just keep going for their legs. Go for where you at. That's how you have to do the devil. You'll be jumping up in his face like you all that in a bag of chips. You'll be like, in the name of Jesus, bam! Crack him on the kneecap. Then run back up under the shadow of his wings. Hey. Mind you, there are those little guys whoop those big guys. Those big guys, unless their faces are just like, but they sized them up, you see. And that's what we have to do. Psalms 91, it says right there in the first verse, we got to size up our opponent. Because no foe has the power to withstand or to bother us or to attack us when we are under the shadow of his wing. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God. On him I lean and rely, and in him I confidently trust. See, when you're in fear, you're not confident. You become double-minded, which is another teaching. You become double-minded. You make decisions, then you change your mind. You make another decision, then you're not sure. But when you're under the shadow of his wings, you become confident. You know you win. Don't matter how big he is, you know you win. To the left is Michael, to the right is Gabriel, you're under his shadow, his wings. Just be happy. You win. For then he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. Then he will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings shall you trust and find refuge. His truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. So in order to be a good leader, we have to look at the reality of our situation, which is the truth of our situation. So his truth and his faithfulness are a shield and a buckler. When we stay under the shadow of his wings, and when we are obedient to follow his commandments and to follow his laws. You shall not be afraid of the terror of the night, nor of the arrow, the evil plots and slanders of the wicked that flies by day. Oh, I tell you, when you're at that place, you can hear stuff that nobody has said, and it will come to you, and it'll keep coming and keep coming and keep coming, like a gnat. Just keep coming. That's why it's so important to stay under his wings. Nor of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, nor of the destruction and sudden death that surprise and lay waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. This is your security blanket in Psalms 91. This is your security blanket. This is where you stay. This is where he's telling you what He will do for you. This is where you find out what it's like to be under the shadow of His wings. Yes, you've read this. Yes, you have read this over and over again. But when you go through something and then you come back and you read it again, it takes on a different flavor. It takes on a different flavor. That's why we should always read the Word. We should always be praying. And when the knocks come and you get hit, and you fall over, you may lose one match. But just like in wrestling, He'll make sure you get another chance at it. He'll make sure you get another chance. You never really lose. If you lose, it's because you choose to lose. Only a spectator shall you be, yourself inaccessible in the secret place of the Most High. Now, ain't that feel good? I like that. I'm a spectator. As I watch everybody out there fighting and fussing over stuff that God has given me that they're trying to take. Oh, y'all don't hear me. As you witness the reward of the wicked. Hallelujah. Because you have made the Lord your refuge and the Most High your dwelling place. There shall no evil befall you, nor any plague or calamity come near your tent. For He will give His angels charge over you to accompany and defend and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. And that, my brothers and sisters, is the scripture that I want to drive home. When my mother was filled up with all of the drugs, I came to her, and it was the first time at the nursing home. And I looked at her, and I knew something was going on. I said, "Mom, what is it?" She said, "I don't want to tell nobody." I said, "What is it?" She said, "God spoke to me. I've never heard God speak to me before." I said, "What did He say?" She said, "He said that the angels had charge over me." And my eyes filled with tears. And I said, "Mama, that was God. It's in the Bible. And He'll quote Himself." And I read that to her. And we talk about that. 79, 80 years old. And that was the first time that she heard the voice of God, where she actually knew. So every time she would become fearful, I said, "Mom, He said He was going to give His angels charge over you." I said, "We're going to get through this. They shall bear you up on their hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent shall you trample underfoot." Now this is the good part. This is when God talks back to us. He said, "Because you have set your love upon me, therefore will I deliver you. I will set you on high because you know and understand my name. You have personal knowledge of my mercy, my love, and my kindness. You trust and rely on me, knowing I will never forsake you. No, never. You shall call upon me and I will answer you. I will be with you in trouble. I will deliver you and honor you. With long life will I satisfy you and show you my salvation." That is our security blanket. That is the very scripture that you should at all times commit as much to memory as possible. I'm sure this doesn't look good on tape, but I'm sorry. Fear today should no longer be a part of our makeup. Not the nervous habits, the jumpy, timid, being apprehensive, uneasy, nervous breakdown, nervous Nelly, and all of these spirits. In the name of Jesus, we speak to you today from our position under the shadow of the Almighty God in His wings and in the name of Jesus. And we say, loose here in Jesus' name. We'll not have you. We'll not receive you again into our mind, our will, our emotions in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus cover us from the crown of our heads to the very soles of our feet. We come against every spirit of insecurity and inferiority, self-pity and loneliness, timidity and shyness, inadequacy and ipness, sensitiveness, being self-aware and fear of man, fear of disapproval, persecution, unfairness, fear of judgment, fear of condemnation, fear of accusation, fear of reproof, paranoia, jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, persecution, fears, confrontation, mental illness, mania, paranoia, hallucination, jealousy, envy, suspicion, distrust, and selfishness. These are all spirits that operate under the spirit of fear. And I speak to you now to let the people of God go in Jesus' name, right now in Jesus' name. Come off of their mind, their will, and their emotions. Come from behind their eyes. Come from their mind now in the name of Jesus. All spirits of fear, loose the people of God and let them go in Jesus' name. Unfairness, go, fear, dread, worry, nervousness, tension, headache, nervous habits, restlessness, excitement, insomnia, migraine headaches, roving, mind-binding, mind-blocking, mind-blinding spirits, fear of man, fear of failure, go in the name of Jesus. All fears go in Jesus' name. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle from the mind and the will and the bodies, because you bring with you illness. You bring with you the spirit of rejection. You bring with you the spirit of rebellion and witchcraft to control because they have so much fear. Loose them now in the name of Jesus and go in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Unwrap and uncoil from the spirit of mind control. Always taking them back to the place of pain. Always taking them back to the place of persecution. Always taking them back in the name of Jesus. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. All spirits of arrested development that cause them to do the same thing, getting the same result over and over again. I curse you at the root. You are connected to the spirit of fear as well. Go in Jesus' name. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle. Come from behind their eyes. Come from behind their minds. Unwrap from the religious spirit that I'm all that and I don't have this and I don't have that. This is not a smorgasbord deliverance. You got it. Let it go. Everybody walks in a semblance of deliverance, and God wants you to move up. He wants you to come up another notch. He wants you to come up another notch. Let the spirit of fear go in the name of Jesus. Fear of authority, fear of mom, fear of dad. What happened in your life to set up the spiraling of fear? Release yourself now in the name of Jesus. We loose the Holy Spirit to go in now and to lead and guide you into all truth of all things in the name of Jesus. Right now, move in Jesus' name. Fear of death, fear of rejection, discouragement, go in the name of Jesus. God, we lose a fearless spirit, a fearless spirit, a fearless spirit, fearless, 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 the spirit of the warrior, the spirit of the warrior to come against demons within ourselves in the name of Jesus, to not be afraid of what people have to say about us, to not be afraid that we're not all that we've even cracked ourselves up to be. I break that now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Every little pet demon, we kick you off of your throne now. Come off of the throne of the hearts of the people of God in the name of Jesus. Oh, everything is all right. I have no problems. All is right with the world. Liar, liar, set yourself on fire. Go to the pit in Jesus' name. Angels of God, take these devils where Jesus wants them to go. In the name of Jesus, we lose a spirit of truth in the house today. A spirit of truth upon the people of God. A spirit of truth into their hearts, their minds, their wills, and their emotions. Where they'll not be afraid to face the reality of the situation. That yes, they are nothing. Yes, they can do nothing without God. That we do need the fear of the Lord in our hearts, not the fear of man. So that we will be obedient to you, God, and trust you in Jesus' name. Go, you devils, now in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Shando robo shatana na mayako. Rese no reboche. Nandirio se, candirio se de robo shata. Ande robo shatana na mayiririao. Those withdrawal spirits that come with isolation and insecurity go. Inferiority. I'm not as good as this. I'm too tall. I'm too short. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. My teeth ain't right. My hips are too wide. My lips are too thick. I curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. Move, devils. For the people of God are beautifully and wonderfully made. God does not make a mistake. There is divine order and divine connection in the Lord. Oh, you devils go. Right now, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, we bind the strong man in Jesus' name. We bind the strong man in the name of Jesus. And we lose fear upon fear. We lose fear upon the henchmen that operate under the spirit of fear operating in these people in the name of Jesus. We lose the fear of the Lord. We lose your ending upon you. You know where you're going. I stir it up in the name of Jesus that the people of God will see what God wants them to see and know where God wants them to go. Loose them now in Jesus' name. All spirits of fear, go. Go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Constant fear of failure, self-hate, the desire to return to bondage, the desire to return to Egypt, afraid to leave that man that has abused you, afraid to leave that woman that has abused you because you're afraid of the unknown, so you'd rather go back to Egypt. I break that off of your mind. I break that off of you now in the name of Jesus. Loose the people of God and let them go in Jesus' name. Abuse, abuse, words spoken behind closed doors in the darkness of the night against the hearts and the minds and the wills of the emotions of the people of God, causing them to be shattered in their mind, shattered in their will, shattered in their emotions. I curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. I call back the fragmented parts of their mind, their will, and their emotions. I lose wholeness upon them in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. I come against the spirit of torment. Torment, panic attacks, nightmares, consistent phobias, fear of the dark, fear of germs, harassing thoughts. I cause you right now in the name of Jesus, infirmity spirits, extreme weariness, weakness, and mental confusion. I call you out now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I bind you and I cut you off from the spirit of mind control. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. That's right. Loose them now in the name of Jesus. Loose them. Loose them now. In Jesus' name. I come against that hard-hearted spirit. That hard-hearted spirit. That spirit that's hard-hearted will not let you say, I'm never going to love again. I'm never going to trust again. I'm never going to do this again. I come against you now in the name of Jesus. Let the blood of Jesus be against you. The blood of Jesus be against you. They will be supple. They will get up on the potter's wheel again. They will live again. They shall live and not die. In the name of Jesus. Move, devils. Come on out of there. Now, in the name of Jesus, I come against that spirit of pride, that spirit of religious spirit that causes you to sleep, that causes you to be weary when the spirit of the Lord is moving. I curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. We worship you, oh God. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Self-pity. 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 Unfairness with envy and jealousy, anger and rage, withdrawal, false compassion, false responsibility, unnatural, abnormal love for animals, the downtrodden and the oppressed. All you religious spirits that hang out in that area, you go to unwrap and uncoil and untangle off of the mind, the will, and the emotions of the people of God. Let them go now in Jesus' name. Let them go now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Ha-ya-ya-ya-wo-sha-ta-ra-na. Reshenda. Terror. Terror. Panic attacks. Depression. Tired and sleepy. Hyperactivity. Flight of ideas. Extremely talkative. Mood swings. Passive-aggressive personality. Drug use and thoughts of suicide. Move! In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come out of there in Jesus' name. Move in Jesus' name. Handa robo shatana namayeke. Roshe da da roboshe. Nandi rioshe. Kaya rioshe. All your self-accusation spirits. Feeling like you're always at fault. Compulsively accepting the blame for everything. Then that's accompanied by self-hatred. Compulsive confession and false responsibility. I break that off you. It's a yoke. God showed it to me. It's on somebody in here. It's a yoke. It's a yoke. It's a yoke. I break it off of you now in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. False yokes come off the people of God now in the name of Jesus. Right now, move in the name of Jesus. Self-accusation spirits. Oh, it's my fault. I shouldn't have did this. And I shouldn't have did that. I break that off of you right now in Jesus' name. He called you. Perfectionism. Everything has to be just like this. Just like the word. Just like the rule book. I curse you at the root in the name of Jesus. You religious spirit. That's what you are. There's freedom and liberty in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He is not just like that. He is loving and kind. He is not a dictator. Stop pressing that onto the minds and the hearts of the people of God. Loose them and let them go in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go, go, go in Jesus' name. All the way out. Unwrap and uncoil and untangle. All of you unwrap and uncoil and untangle. Come out of there. Come out of there. Loose them now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Now in Jesus' name. Hey, yadadaboshataranamaye. Fear mistakes, rechecking your work and others over and over again, constructive criticism, pride, ego, critical spirit, impatience, anger, rage, and violence. I decree right now that you should come out of the people of God. I bind you with fetters of iron dipped in the blood of Jesus. We pull you out and say, go in the name of Jesus. Angels, take these devils where Jesus wants them to go. Hallelujah. 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 Spirits of paranoia. 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 Come out in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Move and come out in Jesus' name. Every area that has been cleared out. Every area that has been cleared out. We pour in the oil and the wine, the blood of Jesus. We stamp that devils, you can no longer return. We're going to go to the next level. We're going to move to the next level. The areas that have been cleaned out, oh God, we thank you and we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor for it. We thank you, God. We appreciate you, Lord. We know that deliverance comes in many shapes, form, and fashions, and we thank you for that. I thank you, oh God, that your spirit has hovered over this place and has blessed your people with deliverance, Father God, in the name of Jesus. We give you praise. We give you glory. We give you all of the honor. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 glory, 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 hallelujah. Trust and obey. Trust and obey, saints of God. Hold on to your deliverance. Fight for it is worth fighting for. It is worth fighting for when you look at the world and see the confusion that they're in. When you see how they do things backwards. When you see how mean they are to one another. And you can see and feel in your heart and know that God has blessed you to be able to walk fully in deliverance for yourself. He has blessed you to be able to see the hearts and the intents and the hearts of man so that you understand that sometimes you're talking to a demon and sometimes sometimes you're just talking to that person and that you have their discernment. I loose a spirit of discernment upon you now to be able to discern between the two so that you're not casting out demons all the time, but that you see the person's heart and that you begin to minister to their heart. You begin to minister to their need just like Jesus did. We can do that. We can go from level to level, from glory to glory under the mighty, awesome shadow of His wings. He will grant us the wisdom that we need to do what He has called us to do. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Now, Father, we thank You. We thank You, O God. We will obey Your word. We will obey when You speak to our hearts. We give You the praise and the glory and the honor. Everyone that has been delivered, O God, let them be filled with Your Spirit. Let the fruit of the Spirit manifest in their lives in the areas where they have received deliverance. Let it be easy to obey because they moved out fear. Let it be easy to obey and to trust You, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, we thank You and we praise You, Father God, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we bind backlash and retaliation right now in the name of Jesus over this house, over these people, over their families, over everything that You have given each one of us in the name of Jesus. And we thank You, God, for those that work behind the scenes preparing food and doing all the various things to cause the ambiance where Your presence can come. Bless them, God, in the name of Jesus. Now, God, we ask You to bless the food. Bless the food that is going to be served, God. In the name of Jesus, let it be nourishment to their bodies. In Jesus' name we pray and we give You glory and honor. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.